Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Ooh. Oh. Mm. Hey. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oops. Ooh. Oh. Mm. Hey. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oops. Ooh. Oh. Hey. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but that's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Talk about sex for now, to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow, don't be coy, avoid or make void the topic,
cause that ain't gonna stop it,
now we talk about sex on the radio and video shows,
many will know,
anything goes, let's tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was and of course how it should be, those who think it's dirty have a choice, pick up the needle, press pause or turn the radio off, will that stop us, Ted?
I doubt it.
Alright then, come on, spin,
let's talk about sex, baby.
Make any man buy. Pop to you, she's got to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her dates, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. She should have been glad, but she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed next with a check and a note, that last night was so,
take it easy now.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about
you know, make love.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and
you
me.
Me.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex
a little bit.
is subject to controversy. A three-letter word, some regard as a courtesy. He may fiend and have a wet dream because he's seen a teen in tight jeans. When men react like that, it's biological. The female getting in those jeans is diabolical. But of course he does it, and she gives them rap. And before you even know it, they jump in the sack. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's like that. But anyway, ready or not, here he comes. And like a dumb son of a gun, oops, he forgot the condom.
Hey.
Oh well, you say, what the hell, it's chill. I won't get got, I'm on the pill. Until the sword pours and stuff pours down your drawers.
Ew.
He gave it to you, and now it's all yours. Yours, yours.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining me tonight. Those of you listening live, those of you listening in the chat room, those of you on the caller line, and those of you listening on iTunes, thanks a lot. I appreciate you listening to the show. Tonight we're going to talk about sex. So if you're interested in discussing this topic with me, we're going to talk about all facets of sex tonight. You can call in at 323-843-6160. We're going to talk about everything from sexual fetishes to adultery, prostitution, BDSM, sex toys, gay sex versus heterosexual sex, the differences, transgendered sex, STDs, HIV, everything in between. So we're going to talk about the good side of sex, the bad side of sex, and everything in between. So if you have something you'd like to say, once again, just call in 323-843-6160. So sex is an extremely powerful thing. It's an extremely powerful drive for people. People are incredibly driven by their sex drives, obviously. It's biological, and it is something that people are programmed with at birth from the beginning. Not only are our sexual orientations programmed before we are born, in terms of whether we're going to be heterosexual or we're going to be homosexual or we're going to be something in between, it also programs us in terms of what we do and do not like in terms of other people sexually. So if we are, you know, growing up and we find ourselves attracted, you know, in our teen years to people, a certain type of a girl or a certain type of guy, there are reasons, there are biological reasons for that. There are genetic reasons and environmental and societal reasons for all of those things. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to also have some fun with this topic as well. And we have some callers later in the show. So let's first talk about how you come to be a sexual being. Obviously, our sex drives are dictated by our genetic makeup. So if you are born to, let's say, someone who is Caucasian, let's say both your parents are blonde, blue-eyed, whatever, it's quite likely that genetically you're going to be attracted to someone who is also blonde-haired, blue-eyed as well, or someone that looks like your parents, looks like you do, whatever, because genetically it's sort of predispositioned for you to pick someone who looks like you. Not literally, obviously, but someone who resembles you genetically. Your skin type, your hair color, your eye color, whatever, those are the things you find yourself attracted to. But it's not just genetics, it's also the environment you're in. So, you know, that same person could be born and they may be exposed to people who are not just like them. They may be exposed, first of all, they may be just around people who are just like them only. People who look just like them, only blonde hair, blue-eyed people, and their own family. Maybe they're out in the middle of the country or some corn-fed place, and that's all they ever like. And that may be all they're ever attracted to. But if that same person is born into, let's say, a much more multicultural type of an environment, then they may grow up to actually find themselves attracted to people who look different than them. And even if they don't grow up in a multicultural environment, some people are programmed to be attracted to things that are different than they are instead of like them. But that's typically a result of a variety of things. But the main point is that our genetic we have a genetic predisposition to like what we like sexually. And, you know, when it comes to heterosexuals, it's pretty easy. If you're heterosexual, you're programmed to like people of the opposite sex. And that's what you're attracted to. Because when you're in the womb, you know, testosterone is released at a certain time, or estrogen or whatever, depending on if you're a girl or boy. Of course, we all do start out as girls, by the way. In the womb, we all started as girls. And the only reason boys become boys is because of a release of testosterone in the womb. So as we grow in the womb, and that certain time happens where hormones are released to change the girl into a boy, then that boy's sex drive is dictated by what, you know, his genetics are saying for him he's supposed to be attracted to, which is a woman generally. However, if it is a boy who's going to end up being gay and homosexual, typically what will happen is the testosterone release will happen at the wrong time, possibly. When I say wrong time, I mean the time that's not right to make them heterosexual, but to make them homosexual. Or it could be that there's too much estrogen or whatever, but they're still physically a boy, but in a brain sexually programmed to like other boys instead of girls. So there's all sorts of, you know, studies about this and sex and what causes people to be attracted to one another. But this is the very basic genetic reasons for why we are attracted to whom we're attracted to. But overall, it doesn't really matter. Because when you come out of the womb, you can of course choose to like whomever you want, have sex with whomever you want to have sex with. But we're all programmed genetically, and we have a sex drive towards one particular type of person, whether that's a different sex, the same sex, a certain kind of look, someone who's dark haired, someone who's light haired, someone who's African American, someone who's Hispanic, someone who's white, whatever the case may be. So because of all these different types of these different ways that we can be programmed to like, and of course it's not like you're programmed to just like one thing. People are sometimes just very open-minded when they are growing up, and so they don't really care what someone is racially, they're just attracted to what they're attracted to sexually, which we're going to get to in a second. So when you're attracted to something sexually, I mean, it's one thing to be attracted to someone by race or by the way they look, but it's another to be attracted to someone sexually based on physical traits. So, for example, if some people have sexual fetishes. So I guess we'll start talking about that first. Let's talk about that first. So sexual fetish, what is a fetish? A fetish is something that somebody has a preference for. So, for example, if someone is I'm trying to look this up because I looked it up earlier, the actual definition of it. Here we go. It says sexual fetishism or erotic fetishism is the sexual arousal a person receives from a physical object or a form or from a specific situation. The object or situation of interest is called the fetish. The person who has a fetish for that object situation is a fetishist. A sexual fetish may be regarded as an enhancing element to a romantic or sexual relationship achieved in ordinary ways, like having the partner wear a particular garment or whatever. Or as a mental disorder, disorder of a sexual preference, it can cause significant psychological distress for the person. So generally people who have a sexual fetish, they focus on one particular thing, an object, a situation, or whatever the case may be, that turns them on sexually. And, you know, we can get into why that happens in a minute, but whatever the reason people develop these sexual fetishes, they do. And so just as strong as one's sexual desire for a certain sex, meaning if you're attracted to men or women, the same type of drive is present for people who have a fetish. So, for example, someone who may like feet or be into feet or whatever, maybe they had some sort of particular fascination with feet growing up, or someone who's into S&M or BDSM or whatever the case may be, they have possibly a desire to be dominated or to be submissive. And a lot of times I've found people who are into BDSM which is bondage, dominations, sadomasochism, they are typically, for example, someone who's into bondage may be someone who feels always in control, or someone who's submissive, always in control in their life, always having to be the one to make decisions, and they may want to actually be out of control in the bedroom, and that's the one place they want to be, not have to make decisions. And so that allows, that turns them on sexually. And then the opposite, of course, would be domination. And someone who's dominant is probably someone who feels out of control in their life, and in the bedroom wants to feel in control, and that's the one place they feel in control. And so people develop these types of, like, you know, fetishes and things for various reasons. A lot of times it's because, like I said, how they are in their jobs, professional life, whatever. But whatever the case may be, they do develop them, and they grow up having sexual desires for these things. Now, a lot of people are very shy about their fetishes or whatever they may be about, but I don't see any reason to be shy about it, because, you know, if you're with somebody, whether it's someone, it's a one-night stand, or someone you're married to, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be someone out there who shares your sexual kink, whatever it is, if it's, you know, whatever it is. So if you are attracted to something particular, then you can find someone else out there just like you who's going to be into the same thing. So it's not like you have to be alone, or you have to worry about what the people think. And the only people who need to know about it are people that you're with. So there's always someone out there who can share your certain kink. So don't worry about that. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. Hopefully have some calls. Be right back. Madonna with Justify My Love, one of the sexiest songs of all time. The song is actually written by Lenny Kravitz for Madonna, but what she did with it was amazing. And that song, that video for that song, was like completely scandalous in the 90s when it came out, early 90s, like 1990 or 1989, something like that. And it was so scandalous because she was showing all these different types of sex in a hotel, and she was playing this character, which she had not yet created, but she did her next album called Erotica, called Dita, which is sort of an alter, you know, ego she had. And it was about a woman who went to this hotel and was free to be herself sexually and to explore her sexuality at this hotel with all these different types of people. She didn't explore bisexuality, lesbianism, and just heterosexual sex as well. And it was there was an outrage by society, or by a lot of people in society, because of this video and saying that she was promoting sex. Well, what's so fucking wrong with promoting sex? I mean, come on. I mean, what is wrong with sex? In the United States, you know, people here, we are so puritanically based that, you know, it's very different here than it is in Europe or places that have been around much, much longer than we have. And that's primarily because we were founded by Puritans and, well, not really, not technically, but you know what I mean. They kind of were the first people to kind of settle here, that people consider that, even though the Indians were here long before them. But anyway, they brought their kind of ethics and their ideas about sex and morality to the Americas. And that has stayed with us up and even till today, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later. So I think that, you know, it's sad that Americans are, you know, so prude about sex. I mean, sex is no different than food or eating. You know, sex is a biological imperative and is something that people need to do. It's something people physically need to do as well as mentally need to do. It resolves many things for a person's body physically as well as mentally. So when people do not have sex or are not allowed to have sex at all or restricted from having sex, you know, they literally can go crazy. Now, there are people who, you know, obviously there are nuns and there are priests, etc. But do you really think that they never, ever have done anything? Those priests, obviously the priests and their fucking, you know, the Catholic priests specifically, and their fucking abusive kids. That's one thing. But I'm talking about the nuns and people who say they're celibate. Do you think they never do anything at all? Ever? Never masturbate? Never do anything? I don't believe that for a second. I don't think anyone can go through life without sex at all, whether it's with themselves or with someone else. I think it's an absolute, I don't think, I know, it's an absolute biological imperative. So, anyway, today, you know, the way we view sex is very different than we did when that song, Justify My Love, came out in the 90s. And, the way people viewed sex then and the way it's viewed now is so differently. Generally speaking, of course, we still have a lot of conservative people in this world and are trying to keep things the way they were in the 50s and keep women in bras and, you know, and in girdles and things like that, and keep men's sexuality under the carpet as well if necessary. But generally speaking, you know, if you look around, there's sex everywhere today. There's sex on TV. There is sex on the internet, obviously. The internet's changed the game. There is sex on every conceivable media outlet you can think of. There's sex there somehow. And sex is in advertising, and it always has been. But now it's far more blatant and overt, especially in fashion advertising, like Dolce & Gabbana or Versace or any number of designers. So it is not seen in the same way it was as such a taboo before, but still you can't have women running around naked with their breasts hanging out on just a public beach like you can in a lot of places in Europe, because they're still seen as being sexual and only seeing as being sexual and never looked at from an aesthetic standpoint. Now, when I see breasts, I don't see anything sexual. I see a beautiful like creation physically and aesthetically, but I don't see anything sexual because I'm gay. But a heterosexual male would see those and may, first thing he may think and feel is to sexualize them, which is normal for a heterosexual male. And for a heterosexual female, you know, it's a little different. It seems that men, when they we're very, whether you're gay or straight, are we're very visual, as you probably know. And when we see something, we're prompted sexually in our brains by that. That creates a sexual urge or whatever. With women, it's different. They seem to need, although they can be visually stimulated to some degree, and they are to some degree, of course, they are far more tactile and need to feel the person and to have sensation. And it's also more mental for them in terms of how they view sex and how they need someone to, you know, say certain things to them and to do certain things to them. It's all very much more complicated for a woman. You know, a woman is far more complicated generally than men, and especially in sex. And so with a woman, you definitely need to be more cognizant of the fact that it's a far more complex undertaking. Whereas a man, you can, it's like bada bing, you know, get in, get out, and you're done. It's no big deal. It's a very mechanical function. With a woman, it's all, is this the right place? Is this the right place? Do I need to go this way, whatever. So, you know, women, of course, are all different. All men are different, you know, gay, straight, whatever, lesbian, you know, bi, whatever. People are all different. But generally speaking, that's the difference between men and women sexually. And they are, the difference is quite stark. So to me, I find it, you know, astonishing that heterosexuals ever have sex because they are so completely different. You know, men and women are so different. It's amazing to me that they can ever have sex and have a good sex life because they you don't know what each other's feeling. You know, for someone like myself who's gay, you know, I know exactly what the man I'm having sex with is feeling at the time. And he knows what I'm feeling because we're both men. The same goes for lesbians. So to me, and, you know, so it pisses people off, but to me, heterosexual sex is inherently substandard to gay sex because gay sex is inherently better than heterosexual sex because you both have the same body parts and you know what you're doing and you know what feels like what. When a gay guy is sucking another guy, a gay guy's penis, the other guy knows what he's feeling because he has a penis. Or if they're 69ing, they're feeling exactly the same thing for the most part. Whereas if a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman are doing 69, they're not feeling the same thing. They're feeling something similar probably, but not the same thing. And like I have no clue what a woman feels like sexually because I'm not a woman. I don't know what it feels like to be penetrated sexually in the vagina because I don't have one. But you know, to be a man, I know what that sensation is about. To be a woman is something that I'll never know, and thank God. But so it's the same for women never knowing what the man is feeling. They have no clue what he feels like to be a man. And also, you know, I think the difference between the sexes is when it comes to sex, is that they are, you know, a man, you know, our penis is hanging out there. It's always out there. We can always see it. It's always there. We see it every single day. We wake up, it's there. We pee, it's there. We, you know, whatever we're doing, it's there. We always are, you know, aware of our penises because it's just part of being a guy because it's hanging on the outside of our bodies. It's not like inside and hidden like a woman's sexual organs are. So the woman, you know, and I think this may be one reason why women are so much more, you know, less aggressive about sex than men, besides obviously the testosterone that's involved. But I think women are, because everything's on the inside, they're not always constantly thinking about sex because it's not always there. It's not always out there. It's something that's always hidden in their clothing. You know, you can't see it when it's, you know, in their clothes. I mean, obviously you can see their breast, but I mean, their vagina is hidden. So it's not something you just accidentally bump up against and they get wet or whatever. I'm sure that probably does happen, but I'm saying generally it takes more than that to get a woman going. And a guy, you can just pretty much bump up against him and it can start a whole process there. So it's very interesting to me the differences between the sexes and how, you know, heterosexuals function at all sexually because there's so much of a difference between them, but they do somehow. And of course they have a sexual imperative to actually, you know, procreate. Which, you know, which is what the biological imperative usually was, you know, genetically is for them to reproduce or whatever. So that's why the sex drive is so high. And a man wants to go out and just spread his seed everywhere. And a woman once she's been pregnant, she's, you know, a nesting kind of a person typically. So, it, of course, there are plenty of women who are like that too, but you know what I mean. So I think it's really weird, and it's just, it's fascinating to me, the differences between the sexes. Okay, so next we're going to talk about the differences between I was going to talk about the negative side of sex. I mean, and we'll talk more about the positive side as well, but we're going to talk about the negative side of sex, such as adultery, prostitution, and STDs, HIV, and, you know, things of that nature, because I think that, you know, when you talk about sex, you have to absolutely include every aspect of the topic. I mean, there's a good side and bad side to everything, and sex is no different. So we are going to talk about that next, and we'll be right back. Sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty there. Anyway, welcome back to the show. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. So we talked a little bit about where sex comes from or where the sexual drive comes from and why people are the way they are. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the negative side of sex, negative sides of sex. One of those things would be adultery. And, you know, adultery is not like a sin, in my opinion. I don't believe in sin. I believe it's a bad thing morally to cheat on someone you've agreed to be in a monogamous relationship with. But I do also think that, that, you know, there are reasons people cheat and there are reasons people don't. I mean, so I think there are a lot of reasons for adultery all around, but one of the things about it is that if you are in a relationship with someone and you've agreed to be monogamous, then really is no excuse to cheat on them, because if you do cheat on somebody, then you've broken that agreement. However, there are extenuating circumstances that do exist occasionally. For example, maybe someone is injured, they can't have sex, or someone has no interest in sex and have lost interest in sex, or whatever the case may be. And so in those cases, it may be justified to have sex with other people, but it's still not right, if you know what I mean, in my opinion. And of course, there's prostitution, and prostitution, of course, is a controversial issue, but I certainly think that it is something that should be legalized. Let's look at prostitution. So we have prostitutes. We have people who go out there and they sell themselves for sex. I mean, sell themselves their sex for money. And as a result of that, they get paid. So it's a commercial enterprise, if you ask me. And all it is someone trading a service for money. I don't see a problem with it. I just don't. I don't think it's like something that should be necessarily lauded, but I don't think it's something that is so horrible. I mean, to me, it's no different than pornography. Pornography and porn or whatever, which is its own topic, is, you know, has a bad rep as well. But I think that it's really no different than prostitution. I've talked about this in a couple of shows before, that to me, I don't see the difference between someone getting paid for sex on camera and someone getting paid for sex not on camera. To me, that's the only difference between prostitution and porn. So pornography, you know, porn star or whatever is being paid to have sex with someone else, which to me, I thought that was the definition of prostitution. The only difference is there's a camera in the room recording it, and then they're selling it to someone else. So because it's being sold to someone else, it's considered to be porn. But if those exact same two same people were doing exactly the same thing and still being paid for it, then and not in front of a camera, then it's called prostitution. So in my opinion, I think prostitution in general should be legalized like it is in many other countries, and those countries have not collapsed or fallen down. And as a matter of fact, in those countries, in places like Nevada, where it is legal, prostitution is legal, the prostitutes actually do quite well financially, you know, talking six figures, a lot of them. And they have health care. They get tested constantly. So they're like the cleanest prostitutes you'd ever have sex with. And they serve a service. They have served a service for humanity since the beginning of time. And I don't see the problem. Now, I don't think that being a prostitute is something to aspire to. I don't think that being a prostitute is a good life choice. I don't think it's a good thing that you should, you know, try to go out and just do if you have other options. But I do think that if you, you know, which is typically the case, people who become prostitutes typically don't have other options. They typically don't do it because they want to. It's typically because they're in a situation where they may need money, or they haven't another way to support themselves or their child or whatever the case may be. And so they decide that that's the route to go. And I don't judge people for that at all. I don't think that it's something that I would want my child to do, obviously. But if they, you know, are not hurting anyone else, and if they're of consenting age, and it's consensual sex, and it's exchanging, you know, money for sex, so what? You know, maybe I'm just really open-minded, but a lot of people, I'm sure, would disagree with me. But I really find it ridiculous that prostitution is illegal and porn is not. So it's very strange to me. So, and then we have, of course, STDs and HIV and things that you can get from sex. Now, you know, sex is a dangerous thing. If you think about what's going on with sex, I mean, you're having an exchange of bodily fluids with someone else, essentially, is what you're doing. I mean, you're exchanging bodily fluids with someone else, you know, whether it's saliva or semen or, you know, whatever the case may be. You're exchanging these things. And so it's essentially the same as blood coming from one person to another person. It's essentially exchanging blood with someone else. So when you're having sex with someone, you're essentially it's the same thing as doing that and having a blood transfusion almost. So whatever's in that person's blood or that person's body is going to be in your body. And to, you know, to risk one's life for sex is ridiculous, but it happens all the time. And the reason for that is because as I said earlier, the impetus and the drive for sex is so strong that people often do make mistakes and slip up and don't wear condoms and don't wear, you know, or protect themselves or whatever the case may be. And of course, there's pregnancy and then having an abortion if you don't want the baby. And so, I mean, sex has a negative side, and, you know, people have sex a lot and do it like it's just shaking hands. But really, you know, if you're going to have sex with someone, you need to remember that you're having sex with everybody else they've had sex with ever in their entire lives. So anything that they have, you absolutely could get yourself, and anything that you have, you could give to them. And I do think, you know, there's been a lot of cases about people who have had HIV, and they have known they had HIV. They knew they had HIV at the time, and they had unprotected sex with someone knowing that they had HIV, and either lied to the person about their status, or they didn't tell the person at all, or the person didn't ask. And in either case, I think it's absolutely the person who has HIV's responsibility to notify the other person, because even though the other person is responsible for their own body and their own choices, ultimately it is their choice, and the result and consequences of that are of their own actions is their own, you know, thing to deal with. It is still, in my opinion, the responsibility of the person who has HIV or herpes or any other, you know, syphilis, any other kind of, you know, chronic sexually STD, to tell the other person that they have it, whether they were asked or not. And if they lie about it, there are states where they can actually be arrested and put in prison, because they essentially are endangering someone else's life, if it's HIV especially, and even if it's not. So they, you know, you have to remember, when you're having sex with people, you don't know who you're having sex with. If it's a one-night stand, someone you just met or whatever, you have to be careful. But I do know that doesn't mean it doesn't have to be fun. And, you know, people look down on one-night stands and look down on people having sex without people they don't know or whatever. For me, I think, you know, do whatever the hell you want to do, as long as you're careful about it, you're safe, you're an adult. Who the fuck cares? It's no one else's business but your own, right? So if you want to have sex, be careful and realize that there is going to be a consequence to your action, either positive, negative, or it'll be neutral. But there's always going to be a consequence of what you do sexually. So hopefully you remember that. Be right back. All right, so I just wanted to say in closing tonight, I've got one more song I want to play that's related to this topic, and it's my all-time favorite song about sex, or relative to sex. And before I play that, though, I just want to say in closing that, you know, sex is something that is something you cannot control. I mean, in terms of having a drive for sex, is something that's a natural thing. So to ridicule it, whether it's someone who's different than you because of their sexual orientation, because of their sexual proclivities, or fetishes, or whatever the case may be, what they like sexually, it is just ridiculous because everyone is different. Everybody likes different things. And it's all just like liking something in food. If you like Italian, you don't like Asian food or whatever, you don't like steak, you don't like chicken, I don't know, whatever the case is, you know, everybody's different. So sex is just, to moralize sex is ridiculous because it is not, there's nothing moral or immoral about it. It is just what it is. It's just sex. And so to deny people their rights because of different sexual orientation or sexual proclivities, or to ridicule people because of their sexual orientation or because of their fetishes or whatever the case may be, is ridiculous. Get to know and understand people for who they are. And also, if you want to know more about someone sexually or about what their sexual interests are, get into it and see if you like it yourself. You might like it yourself, and you don't ever know. Don't be afraid to try new things in the bedroom with your partner or with your husband or wife or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, or by yourself. You know, nobody needs to know what happens behind closed doors but you and your partner or you and yourself, because as long as it's consensual, it's nobody else's fucking business. And as long as it's with someone of age, it doesn't matter. And as long as it's not with an animal, because only another human and of an adult age can consent, which I didn't get into that, and I don't want to because I think it's revolting. But and I think it's abusive to animals because they cannot consent to that. So that's why I don't agree with that. But anyway, so just make sure you are looking out for yourself, and no one's going to look out for your own sexual needs but you. So if your sexual needs aren't getting met, then you need to have them met somehow, and you need to make sure that they're met, whether it's by yourself or with someone else, because no one's going to do it for you. So good night.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.